Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Yuma Nun Hei. We begin at the last line of Nadal Daman Beis. Not al Asadam, mi Mishir Ramarasboi. King Gadol just left the Kodesh HaKadoshim after bringing the Keturus. He approaches this Kohen, who was standing there and was busy mixing the dam. Which dam? The dam of the Par Kohen Gadol, which was awaiting Hazo'ah. He was mixing it so that it wouldn't congeal in the meantime. Now the Kohen Gadol approaches him, takes that dam, and heads back to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Mishnah tells us he will do Hazo'ois with that dam. He would do achas lamala, one sprinkling, which was upward, v'sheva lamata, and seven downward. But the Mishnah points out that it wasn't actually aiming at any specific target, whether an upper target or lower target. Rather, he did it kimatzlev. Says the Gemara, my kimatzlev. What exactly is this? Machvi Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda demonstrated with his hands, kiman gadna, like a shliach bezna applying malchus. So he would apply the first lash up on top and then slowly progress downward. One, two, three, down the line. Here as well. It wasn't as though the achas lamala was aimed at any specific target going upward. And the sheva lamata were aimed at any specific target down below. Rather, the achas lamala was the uppermost hazah, after which he would proceed downward with another seven. So it would be one, and then an additional seven going down the line. In fact, Rashi points out, the dam wouldn't even reach any specific target. It wouldn't even come into contact with the urn which he was facing. So he wasn't aiming at anything. It was just starting from the top and heading down. However, says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in the Braisa, that there was some difference as far as the hand motion of the kohen. The achas lamala was done using an upward motion, upward swoop, whereas the sheva lamata entailed a downward motion. But that's just as far as the mass of the kohen gadol. This was upwards, this was downward, but as far as the target, as far as the dam's destination, they all landed pretty much at the same point, down on the floor in front of the other. Tanak shumaza. When he did the hazois, enoi maza ala poruchis. He wouldn't be doing this, the hazah, on over the pareches, on the kaparis. The kaparis was the cover of the aron. The point wasn't to get the dam onto the kaparis, onto the aron. Elokineged oivishal kaparis. He did it opposite the thickness. Thickness here means the vertical surface of the thickness of the lid over the aron. So we have the aron with the kaparis above it. And he was standing opposite the Aron, opposite the Kaparis as well. He was facing the Oivi of the Kaparis, the thickness, the vertical surface of the thickness of the Kaparis, and doing the Hazah opposite that. But as Rashi points out, the Dam wouldn't actually come into contact with the Aron, it would just land on the floor. But there was a slight difference between the Achas Lamala and the Sheva Lamata. Kshumaz Lamala, when he did the achas lamala, the upper hazah, it's not referring to the dam's final destination, to a target that he was trying to reach. Just what? Mitzadid yada lamata, he would maneuver his hands downward. What does that mean? The back of his hand would face downward. He would dip his finger into the container of dam and do the zrika, the hazah, with an upward motion. That was achas lamala, after which the dam would slightly rise and fall back down on the floor in front of the aron. That was the achas lamala. Kshemaz lamata, when he did the sheva lamata, the lower hazois, it simply reflected a different hand motion. Mitzadet yode lamala, he would have the back of his hand facing upward, dip his finger into the dam, and do the hazah like this. Instead of going up, it would go like this, downward. And as we said, he would start above, top of the line, and then make his way down the line till he gets to the last hazah. Again, this is just reflecting various hand motions. Mitzad, the mass of the kohen, it was an upper motion for the achas lamalur, and a downward motion for the yisheva lamata. But in any case, the dam would not reach the aron, would not come into contact with the cover, with the kapuris of the aron. Menana mili, why would you say that? If you read the pasuk, the simple meaning of those words in the psukim do indicate that the dam would reach the kapuris. Pasuk says, he did the hazor, ala kapuris, lefnei kapuris. How would you know that the dam would not meant to reach the kapuris itself? Omar of Achavar Yaakov, Omar Bezer, Omakro. Take a look at the psukim. We have a pasuk which discusses the hazois of the soyer. This is in pasuk Tesvav, which reads as follows: Vihiza oisoi alav kapuris. He would do oisoi, one hazah, a singular term, oisoi, one, ala kapuris, above, over the kapuris, over the cover of the aron. Vilifnei kapuris, and also he would do lower hazois, these are the sheva lamata, vilifnei kapuris, opposite the kapuris. So you have the upper one and the lower ones. The kasha is as follows. You see, the pasuk here gives us a number as to how many hazois are meant to be directed upward. The answer is one. He's a oisoi ala kapuris. But when it comes to the second stage of the hazois, the lower hazois, we have no number indicated in this pasuk. Lufnei kapuris, leaving it blank. Inevitably, we're going to have to draw that information from the other pasuk, the pasuk describing the hazois of par. You see, the pasuk by par reads a bit differently. This is in pasuk Yudalot. It says, "V'lokach dam par, v'hizav be'etzboy, al pnei kapuris, kedmo, v'lifnei kapuris." And opposite the kapuris, meaning the lower hazois, will be yaze sheva pom. Here we have a number. By the lower hazois of the sur, we have no number indicated. Inevitably, we're going to have to draw that information from the par. We're going to see soon that the pasuk connects the two things. So we draw a parallel. We say, well, just like with the par, there were seven hazois lamata, the same regarding the sur, which needed sheva hazois lamata. The question is, why then does the pasuk mention anything regarding the lower hazois by the soyer, if in any case you're going to have to draw that information from the par? Those words are unnecessary. There's no need for the pasuk to describe the hazois lamata by the soyer. The late tzarech, the gamar mimata, the par, because in any case you're going to have to draw that information from the par. Lamanemar. If so, why does the pasuk describe anything regarding the lower hazois of soyer? It's extra. It's unneeded. La'akush. Those extra words are coming to present us with a drasha, to provide a hekesh, to provide a definition that we're looking for. We want to know whether the dam is meant to actually land on the kapuris, as per the literal wording of the psukim, alapur, alakapuris, or is it lavdafka? Just means over, above, but doesn't actually land on the kapuris. It's just an indication of his position and of his motion over the kapuris, but not actually coming into contact with the kapuris. That's what the point of this pasuk is. La'akushi al lulifnei. Lulifnei kapuris is extra, right? Because we draw that information from the par. The pasuk is trying to tell us, connect the first part of the pasuk, v'hizeh oisai al hakapuris, referring to the upper hazah, over, above the kapuris, connect that to the second part of the pasuk. Lilifnei, lakushi al, lilifnei. Connect that to the words v'lifnei hakapuris. And conclude as follows. Malifnei, just as lifnei hakapuris, opposite the kapuris. is not speaking about landing on the kaporis. It's just opposite. It's indicative of his position when he's doing the Hazor opposite the kaporis. The lav al. That's not referring to something landing on the kaporis. Af al. Similarly, the pasuk says al kaporis. The lav al. It doesn't literally mean have the dam land on the kaporis. So again, since we have extra words in this pasuk, which pasuk? The pasuk describing the hazois of the soyer, which reads as follows: v'hizo oisai ala kaparis, above, over the kaparis, and then continues with v'lifnei kaparis, opposite the kaparis. Now those last two words are unneeded because that information we're going to have to learn from par in any case. Since over here we don't have a number of how many hazois is going to do, we're going to have to learn it from par where we have the number 7. So what's the point of the pasuk? Repeating it, mentioning lifnei kaparis at all by Sar. Ah, it's coming to tell you something. These are extra words which are going to teach us a lesson. Just like lifnei kaparis is simply opposite to kaparis, without coming into contact with the kaparis, likewise, the previous words in that same pasuk, ala kaparis, over, above the kaparis, which is referring to the achas lamala, is also not meant to be done in a way where the dam will actually come into contact with the kaparis. It's just referring to an upward swoop, an upward motion, which is above the kaparis, but not actually coming into contact. The dam is not going to land on the kaparis. Adarabba says more just the opposite. Let's take a different route, which will lead us to a different conclusion, that perhaps the dam has to land on the kaparis. Lo yomar lamal bepar deloitzarach. We have the other pasuk, pasuk Gedalot, which reads as follows: V'lokach medam apar v'izav etzboi al pnei kaparis, over, above, on the kaparis. That's the upper hazoah. And the pasuk continues: V'lifnei kaparis yad hashev apamim. Now, the second part, the lifnei kaparis, the lower hazois, that we need, because it's only here that the pasuk gives us a number 7. But regarding the upper hazah, al pnei kaparis, l'chayra, those are unnecessary words because the Torah really doesn't give us a number of how many hazois, how many upper hazois will take place. We must draw that information from the soyer, the other pasuk, pasuk tezvav, where the pasuk clearly tells us it's one hazah. V'iza oisoi al kaparis. Rashi says, Oysa means Echad. So if in any case, you're going to draw that information from elsewhere, so why mention it here? Lo Yomar, says the Gemara, Lemal bepar. There's no need for the Pasuk to describe the upper Hazois by a par, the Leitzorach. We're unneeded. Because in any case, the Gemara Mimal of the Sar, you're going to learn it from the Hazol Lemal of the Sar, and draw that over to the par, Loma Namar. So why then does the Torah mention the upper hazah by the par? Ah, an extra word. Lakushi. Perhaps the Torah is coming to teach us something, to establish the proper definition of lifnei and of al. Lakushi lifnei la'al. To connect the two concepts, one to the other. So the pasuk mentions al pnei kaparis, and then lifnei kaparis. This is by the par. The al is extra unnecessary wording, and it's coming to teach us something, to connect, to draw a parallel between lifnei hakaparis stated in that pasuk and the al hakaparis stated in that pasuk, lakushi lifnei la'al, which would lead us to the following conclusion: ma'al al mamish. Just like the simple meaning of al pnei hakaparis would indicate al mamush, the dam has to actually land on the top of the aron. Af lifnei, likewise, when the pasuk tells us v'lifnei kaparis, opposite the kaparis, referring to the lower hazois, al mamush, it needs to actually land, it has to actually come into contact with the kaparis, although not on top, but on the side. So perhaps take this route instead of the previous route, which will lead to different conclusions. Again, we have a pasuk by par, where one part of the pasuk is needed. The sheva hazois lamata, that's needed because otherwise we wouldn't know how many hazois take place lamata. But the first part of the pasuk, al pnei kapar, is totally superfluous. There's no number attached to it. In any case, you're going to have to draw that information from Sar. So perhaps that extra pasuk is coming to tell you a chiddush. Al pnei kapers needs to actually land on the kapers, and likewise, the lower hazois, the lifnei, the ones opposite the side of the kapers, have to actually come into contact with the kapers. Says the Mahaymai, you can't do this. You can't suggest that this is the proper route. Why? E amras bishlema, because if you take the other route, that will work. That will make sense. E amras bishlema. Lemata de sur la kushe. We take the first approach, that the lemata by sur was extra and unnecessary, because there's no number there. In any case, we have to draw that information from par, right? Because the pasuk by sur gives us a number for the hazor lemala, but no number for the hazor lemata. That has to be drawn from par. On the other hand, by par, we have a number attributed to the Hazor Slamata, the 7, but the upper Hazor has no number. That has to be drawn from Sur. So if you take the first approach in the Gemara, that we assume that the upper Hazor by Sur is needed, of course it's needed, and the lower Hazor by Sur aren't needed. Since there's no number there, we have to draw that information from Par in any case. And that's the extra Pasuk. That's coming to tell us this hekesh, that just as the lifnei is indicative of no contact, just opposite, likewise al means without contact. If that's the case, then you'll have something extra by par. The al by par is unneeded, because that's going to be drawn from sur. We know achas lamal from sur. What are we going to do with that? Well, find something to use it for. Find another halacha for that. So again, I amas b'shloima lamata de sur lakushi, if you maintain that the lamata of sur is coming to teach you, no contact, lamala de par mi boile, the upper hazor by par, which is also unneeded, because it's going to be learned from sur, mi boile, we need it for another halacha. Look at the sanya, look at the tana, tveira b'lezer ben Yaakov, the tana, tveira b'lezer ben Yaakov, al pnei kapar is kedma, this pasuk by par, al pnei kapar is kedma, it's coming to tell you halacha. Zebanav is come to present a source that kol makim shenemar pnei, whenever we have a term pnei in the Torah, einoi ela kadem, it's referring to the Mizrach. Just like over here, pnei kapar is kedma, is referring to the Mizrach facing side of the Arim. So we see pnei is Mizrach. Likewise, anytime we have pnei, it means Mizrach. For instance, by the Parah Aduma, when he's standing on Har Zeisim and doing the Hazois, Al Pnei Pesach, the Oil Moed, it means towards the Mizrach, entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. So we found a use for those words. So it all makes sense. The extra wording by Sur will come to tell you no contact with the Aron. The extra wording by Par, that Pnei is Mizrach, Elei Amris. But if you take the other route, and you'll say, Lamala de par lakush. The extra wording by par is coming to tell you the halach. The fact that the Torah adds al pnei kapers, which are unnecessary words, because the hazor achas lamala, you're going to draw from soyer in any case. By soyer, it gives you a number. So you have to get that information from there. And the wording by par is unnecessary. And it's coming to tell you lakushi, that you meant to connect everything to that. Just as al pnei kapers means literally reaching the top of the kapers, needs to be contact. Likewise, lifnei kapers means opposite and coming to contact with the side of the kapers. If that's the route you're going to take, then you still have leftover words which are unneeded and unaccounted for. Lamata de sur lamayasa. What about the extra words by the sur describing the Hazoras Lamata, which are superfluous? Why are they superfluous? Because the Lamata de Sur, in any case, needs to be learned from Lamata de Par, where there's a number. The sir has no number. So he used to write that information on the par. So the lamata by sir is extra words. Without any purpose. Without any halacha to derive from it. So this root wouldn't work. Apparently, says the Gemara, we can conclude with certainty that the first approach is correct. So again, we had par, we had sir. We had the pasuk describing the lamala by par, lamala by sir. Lamata by par, lamata by sir. By lamata of par, we have a number 7. By lamala of sir, we have a number 1. The lamata by sir is extra words. Because he's going to have to draw that information from par. Apparently, he says, the Gemara has come to teach us something. That there needs to be no contact. Just as lamata, the lifnei kapur, is just opposite the kapurs. Likewise, whenever we have al, it means also just over above, but it's referring to the upward motion of the kohen, but no contact of dam on the kapurs. That leaves us with extra wording by par. The upper hazor by the par, which is unneeded, because in any case, he has to draw that information from sir, where there's a number. What's that coming to tell us? That pnei means mizrach. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in the Brice. Vihiza oisoi ala kapuris, lufnei kapuris. So this is the pasuk by Sawyer. This is in the pasuk Tesvav. Telling you there needs to be hazo al, above the kapuris, ala kapuris, and also lufnei kapuris, opposite the side, the thickness of the kapuris. Lomadnu kama lamala bisor. From this pasuk we learn, how many hazois lamala do we by isar? The answer is achas. Vehiza oisoi ala kapuris, oshin yacht. Lamata bisar any idea kama. We still don't know how many hazois will be lamata by sir. There's no number there. It says vehiza oisoi one ala kapuris. So it's one. But lefnei kapuris has no number attached to it. How am I going to know how many hazois lamata by sir? How are you done? Let's derive from the following formula. Let's make a comparison. Nemru damim lamata bepar. We find by par, this is in pasuk, yudalet, that there is hazor lamata. Nemru damim lamata besar. Likewise, we find lor and nasina is dam by yisar. Let's make a connection. Ma lamata bepar sheva. Just as the lor nasina is by the par are 7 in number. Af lamata b'sar sheva. Likewise, the hazois lamata by sar will be 7. Oy klachel derech su. Perhaps take a different route, which will lead to different conclusions. Nem rudam lamala b'sar. Let's connect the sar to himself. Let's make an internal comparison. We find damim lamala by sar, which is 1. Achas lamala. V'nem rudam lamata b'sar. We find hazois lamata by sar. Let's make that sequel. Ma lamala besor achas. Just as the hazor lamala is 1, af lamata besor achas. Likewise, hazor lamata aren't 7, rather 1. Let's make an internal connection within the sir itself. Just as it's 1 up, it's 1 down. Why would you connect it to par, which is an external comparison, rather than connect it to itself? Answers the Gemara, nearly midaima. Let's analyze. Which way is preferred? Which way is more similar? Dun and Mata Mimata. We prefer learning the Hazos Lamata by Sur from the Hazos Lamata by Par. It's similar in nature, going the same direction. Vain Dun and Mata Malamala, rather than learning the lower Hazos of the Sur from the upper Hazos of the Sur, which is in a different direction. And the Rabbi is the opposite. Dun and Gufa Migufa. Wouldn't it be better to learn through an internal comparison, the lamata of sir from the lamata of sir, rather than ve'ein don negufa mi'alma, rather than learning the sir from something else, from an external factor, from the par? So how would you know to compare it to par, which would lead you to the number 7, rather than comparing it to itself, which would lead you to the number 1? Talmud Laimar, the pasuk, and pasuk Tezvav says, va'osas damai. He's meant to do the hazor with the dam hasor, just as he did by the dam par. It's meant to be an exact replica. Vasas damai kasha osal dam par. Shein tamadlaim kasher asa. Why does the pasuk add these words kasher asa? Uma tamadlaim kasher asa. What's the purpose of these words? To teach you sheyu kol asiyos shavus. Everything should be the same and similar. Kishem shelamata par sheva. Just as the hazos lamata by a par are 7 in number, kach lamata b'sar sheva. Likewise, hazos lamata by sar 7. Says the Gemara, okay. So now we learned this additional fact. Lamadnu kama lamata b'par. We've concluded how many hazos lamata by par are there? 7. Ubisar by sar as well. Answer is sheva. 7 by both. Because of that pasuk that connects the two. Lamala b'par any idea? Kama. We still don't know. How many hazos lamala are there going to be by the par? There's no number there. Says the Gemara once again, in similar fashion, Varnidan, I will go ahead and apply the following formula. Nemru damim lamala b'sar, we find a damim lamala by sar, which is 1. V'nemru damim lamala b'par, likewise we find hazor lamala by a par. Ma lamala b'sar achas, just as the hazor lamala by sar is 1 in number. Af lamala b'par achas, likewise, the hazor lamala by a par is 1 in number. Oiklach derech zu, perhaps take a different approach. Let's make an internal connection within the par itself. Nem rudamim lamata b'par. We find sheva hazois lamata by the par itself. V'nem rudamim lamala b'par. We find the upper hazo by the par. Let's connect the two things. Ma lamata b'par sheva. Just as the hazois lamata by the par are 7 in number. Af lamala b'par sheva. Likewise, the upper hazo by the par will also be 7. Rather than going to sar, it concluded with the number 1. Let's see which way is more probable. Who is he more similar to? Donen mala mimala. Better learn hazos lamala by par from hazos lamala by sur, which are very similar in nature. Upwards, lamala. Just as there it's 7, here it's 7. Just as there it's 1, here it's 1. Vein donen mala mimata. Rather than learning the hazos lamala by a par from the hazos lamata by the par. This is up, this is down. Totally different thing. Adrabba. Quite the contrary, says the Gemara. Don and gufa me gufa. Wouldn't it be better to learn from it in itself, make an internal connection? From the par itself? V'ein don and gufa me alma, rather than learning the par from an external element, from the sar. So now we're stuck. We're looking for a number of the lamala by the par. We figured, let's compare it to the sar with achas lamala. No, let's compare it to the par with sheva lamat. Tamad loymar. That's where the pasuk comes in. Pasuk tes vav once again. Vaz astami is meant to conduct the hazois by the sar in the same exact manner as he did it by the par, which indicates to us that par and sar are synonymous. It's not only that the sar is duplicating the par, but the par will duplicate the sar as well. It's one package. They both have the same exact procedure. Why the words kasher asa? Ma tamalem kasher asa? To tell you, sheyiu kol asiyos shavus. Everything's meant to be similar. Kishem shelamata par sheva, just as the hazos lamata by par are 7, as the pasuk indicates clearly. Kach lamata b'sar sheva. Same thing applies to the 7 hazos lamata of the sar. Ukeshem shelamala b'sar achas. Just as the upper hazor by the sur is 1 in number, kach lamala par achas, likewise, the lamala by par is 1 in number. So, conclusion, we have 2 psukim. Regarding the hazois dam of the par of the sur, which is meant to be achas lamala v'sheva lamata, Mar tells us he wasn't really aiming for anything. Rather, it was just like the shliach bezen, applying the malchus, starting on top, and moving down the line. Actually, Gemara tells us, Achas Lamala involved an upward motion, and the Sheva Lamata involved a downward motion. We have the Pasuk by the Par, which is Pasuk Gedalet, which begins with Vehiza. Look on the Par, Vehiza be'etzboi al Pnei HaKaparis Kedem. We learn from here, Pnei, that's Mizrach. With Pnei HaKaparis, Yaz Sheva Pamim, we learn that opposite the Kaparis, meaning this is the Sheva Lamata, the lower hazois, they are 7 in number. from Yazah Shevapamim, the Gemara soon will teach us that you have to actually count as you're doing the Hazois. We have a Pasuk by Sir, which is Pasuk Tezvav. V'yizeh Oysa Allah Kapers, this tells us, Oysai, there's going to be one Hazor above, over the Kapers. Achas Lamal. V'lefnei Kapers is extra wording, because in any case, we're going to draw that information. The Sheva Lamata from the Par. Apparently, says the Gemara, there's a lesson to be learned, a Hekesh, that Allah Kapers, which would seem to indicate that the dam is going to reach the top of the kaparis itself and make contact. No. That's meant to be similar to lifnei, which indicates just opposite, without any contact. We'll makish lifnei ta'al and say from here that there won't be any negiyah at all. The dam simply lands on the floor in front of the oven. From the wording v'asa es damek hasha asal dam apar, we learn that everything is meant to be the same. All the numbers are meant to parallel each other. And we learn from here that the Sir has Sheva Lamata just as the Par, and the Par has Achas Lamala just as the Sir. Continues the Gemara. How does he go about doing the Hazois? He actually counts as he goes along. So he begins with Achas. That's the Achas Lamala. Then proceeds to the Sheva Lamata and starts counting again. It's a new count. It's a new sequence. So it's Achas. And then, achas ve'achas. So he refers back to the hazor lamala, and then starts counting the hazor lamata. So it's achas, that's the upper one, and then when he starts with the sheva lamata, he refers back to the achas, the upper one, and adds ve'achas, meaning the first or the second sequence. The next hazor is achas, referring back to the achas lamala, ushtaim, an additional lower one. And so on and so forth until he gets to achas v'shem. Turn up on him. This is going to be shitas Rabbi Meir. He begins with achas, the achas lamala, and then he moves his hand around, he re-maneuvers, and he starts doing the sheva lamata, and begins counting. Achas v'achas. One upper one, that's going to be in addition to the one lower one. Does another hazol lamata, and says, achas v'shtayim, achas v'sholesh, achas v'arba, achas v'chamesh, achas v'shez, achas v'sheva dibar me. Rabbi Dohimer, he counts a bit differently. He starts achas, that's the achas lamala. Then when he does the sheva lamata, he begins counting anew and says, achas v'achas. Achas here means the first one of the sheva lamata, in addition to v'achas, the achas lamala. So he refers first to the sheva lamata, and then goes back to the achas lamala. Shtayim v'achas. The next one is the second lamata, in addition to the achas lamala. Shtayim v'achas. Sholesh v'achas. Arba v'achas. Chamesh v'achas. Sheish v'achas. Sheva v'achas. Says Marvelay Pligi, there isn't really a fundamental difference of opinion here between Rami and Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, they reflect different styles and manners of counting. Mar ki asrei, or mar ki asrei. Rabbi Yehuda and Rameh both were simply representing the manner and style in which they would count in their locales. Mar, he was following Ki Asri, like his location. Mar Ki Asri, like his location. Says Rashi, about 4 or 5 lines up. Mar Ki Asri, Ba'asri Rameh Ramayinin Minyan Klal Tchila. In his town, they would first mention the collective number. V'achach Prat, and then the individual number, Kigoyin. When you get to 20, it would be 20, 21, the collective, and then the individual, 22. Here as well, first it's the achas, that's the achas lamala, which is a standalone independent count, sort of a complete number like 20. And then when he proceeds to the sheva lamata, it's the achas plus the lower achas. It's the achas plus the shtayim, like 21, 22. As opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, Ba'asi Rabbi Yehuda, Pratchila. They would first address the individual number, and then the collective number. Shtayim v'esrim, Shalosh v'esrim. So instead of 21, 22, 23, it would be 120. In Hebrew, it sounds better. Shtayim v'esrim, Shalosh v'esrim. And likewise over here in Kippur. The Achas Lamal would be Achas. And he proceeds to Sheva Lamata by saying like this. Achas, that's the individual, the lower one, in addition to the Achas, the upper one. Shtayim v'achas. Shalosh v'achas. Interesting, there's a kasha here, because when it comes to Yom Kippur, we follow Rabbi Meir. In the Tfilas, we say Achas v'achas, Achas v'shtayim, Achas v'shalosh. We begin with the collective and proceed with the individual. When it comes to Sfira Sa'imer, we seem to follow Rabbi Yehuda. We say Yoyim Echad v'esrim, Shtayim v'esrim. That's a kasha that's brought in the Mefarshim. Why that discrepancy? In any case, continues the Gemara, it's pretty clear that all agree you have to count. This is Shannon brings a teres koyanim. It says Sheva pa'amim, seven times. It has to be a counting procedure. It has to be a sequence. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And likewise, when it comes to the achas lamala, there needs to be a count there as well. 1. So it's 1 plus 7. The Kuli Alma says the Gemara all agree, Mias, pretty clearly, Hazor Rishoyna Tzricha Minyan, Imkul Achas V'Achas. And the Chiddush here is, not only will he count Achas Lamala, and then 1, 2, 3, all the way to 7 when he does Lamata, but we consider it all to be part of the same count. He combines the two Hazois. He begins with Achas, but then even after he proceeds with the Sheva Lamata, he will still make reference back to the Achas. Achas v'shtayim, Achas v'sholeis. The kasha is why? Why does he combine the two countings? My time, we have two pshat. Or blazer, Amar. It wasn't really required min haTorah. It's simply out of practical considerations. Shelo yita b'hazois. To eliminate any chance of confusion when it comes to the hazois, Rashi explains. Give him a little extra time, a little extra pause between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So he doesn't get things confused. Might confuse the numbers because they're mixed up, lose track of where he's holding. Therefore, we insert that achas. Achas vi achas. Achas ushtayim. Achas shalosh. This way he stays on track. Taisi Zishan has a different pshat. He says he might lose track in the following way. You see, if it's going to be achas lamala, that's it. And then he begins a new sequence, a new count, starting from 1 all the way to 7. He might not do that. He might just continue on, beginning with the Achas Lamala, and then switch over to the Sheva Lamata and just continue on, 2, 3, 4, and with 8. Make it into one count, which is not kosher, because it has to be Sheva. It has to count from 1 to 7. It has to be a sequence of 7. It has to begin at 1, end at 7. You can begin at 2 and end at 8. It doesn't work. That's his pshat in the Rebbelezer. Shleita ba'azois. So he doesn't lose track of the count. That's why we keep the one intact. It's 1 plus 1. 1 plus 2. This will ensure that he starts the hazois lamata with number 1 and ends with number 7. So once again, it's not really needed min hatar, just to avoid confusion. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he says, we learn it from a pasuk, Amar Kra. V'lefnei ha-kapuros, yaza sheva pa'amim. Shein tamad loymar yaza. By the Sheva Hazois Lamata of the Par, we have an extra word, yaza. Pasuk says he's going to be maza lamala and lamata Sheva Pa'amim. Why the added reference to yaza? Umata malomi yaza. Limed al hazor rishayna shetzricha minyon imkal achas v'achas. Pasuk is telling you that single hazor, the achas lamala, must be combined, at least in the counting procedure, together with the Sheva Lamata. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, although it's Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata, which represent two different realms, two different counts, no, they're considered one procedure, one counting, one minion. It goes together. One up and seven down. And he has to keep the upper one in mind while he's counting the seven lower ones. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar, sure, he has to count the upper one and has to count the lower ones, but they're two separate things. In fact, perhaps the whole reason why he has to count the Achas Lamala is just to set it apart, so to speak, from the Sheva Lamata. Because really, one thing doesn't really have a number. It's just one. The true concept of minyan doesn't really apply when it's only one thing. When you're counting several things, it makes sense. 1, 2, 3, 4. But it's just one. What do you mean one? One of what? So the reason for counting one by the lamala is just to sort of differentiate, to draw that contrast between itself and the seven lamata. That's why minyan is required by the upper one. But it doesn't really relate to the seven lamata. It's a different sequence. And therefore, says Rabbi Elazar, sure, you count it. But then you put it aside and you begin counting anew with the lamata. The only reason why we still refer to it is to avoid toes. My benayu, is there any afkamina lahalacha between the two shittas of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yechanan? Says more, yeah, sure. Ikar benayu, delay mana, delay ta. Suppose he didn't make reference to the achas lamala while counting the sheva lamata. So he said achas when he did the upper one and forgot about it. And went to the sheva lamata, just said 1, 2, 3, all the way to 7. But he did it properly without losing track. Good job, Elazar was yaitse. The whole point was to eliminate confusion. He didn't get confused. According to Yechanan, he wasn't yaitse because it's part of the same counting procedure. It's meant to be done in this manner. It's all one package. It's one up and seven down. And if he doesn't mention the upper one during the sheva lamata, he's not yaitse. Yotze v'hinicha al kanazor shebeichel. So after the Kohen completed the hazos of the Dama Par, he went out to the Hechel and placed the Dama Par on that Kan, on this gold base in the Hechel, while he went over to the Sur to be Shechet, to get the Dam, which he would take back in the Kodesh HaKadosh. Now Tanakama holds there were two bases, two Kanim, one on which he would place the Dama Par, and the other one on which eventually you would place the Dama Sur. Kontyabida was only one. And the Gemara soon will explain, Rabbi was concerned about confusion, mixing things up. Going to see an Amud Beis. Before we get to that, the Mishnah will introduce a halach. It's not awesome, we're going to the Mishnah. This is a Mishnah in Shkol. We had 13 Sheifaris in the Beis HaMikdash. 13 shafer-shaped containers, narrow on top, wide on bottom, like a pushkin, through which you would insert money as a nedava for various purposes, as we're going to see. Mishnah tells us two of those shafaris were intended for the following: for purchase of birds, bird carbonis. One was for chayva, suppose it's a zav, etc. Who need to have a pair of birds, a kan, in which one is a chatas and one is an oila. So they would insert a bundle of money into the shofar, which the kohen would then take, purchase birds with it, and bring it on the mizbeach. It was one shofar which was for nedava. He wanted to donate some birds, throw some money in there, which they would use to purchase birds for nedava, for an oila. That's a shittas chacham. There were no sheifaris to accommodate kinei chayva, which entailed chatois, b'nei taroives, who were concerned about confusion and mixture. What does that mean? My b'nei taroives. Am Rav Yosef b'nei taroives chayva b'nedava. Says Rashi, three lines from the bottom. B'nei taroives chayva b'nedava. Shemu yischalev sheifa b'sheifa. The kohen might lose track. He'll forget which one's which. He'll take money from the shofar of chayva, where every bundle is meant to be used partially for an oila, partially for a chatas. Out of forgetfulness, he'll direct it for nedava use, for oila use. In which case, it's possible, because there's a kedushas chatas in there. Or alternatively, mishal nedava chayva. He might take money from the nedava pushka and use it for chayva, and use it partially for chatas, for the pasul, which case it will become pasul. Shachayva achas lachatas achas la'ila. The money is meant to be used differently. The money in the chayva is meant to be used part for chatas, part for oila. One bird chatas, one oila. For nedava kula oilas, whereas the nedava donation is completely for oila. Vein masa oila umasa chatas shavin. The way you makar v'chatas and oila is very different. Rabbi is afraid about confusion, mixing things up. He says, no, all you have is a shofar for a nedava, in which case the kohen knows it's an oila. Don't make a shofar for chayva, just in case you might confuse things. Says Emor, Amalei Abaye. What's the problem? V'navitrei. Let us have two sheifaris. One designated for completely for oilis, and one for the chatas and oila pier. V'nichtav alayu. Let's just add a tag to the sheifar. Hi, the chayv v'ayin dava. Let's write on them. This is chayv as v'nadava. Let's make a clear indication without any concerns of taroivus. Rabbi Yehuda last like siva says the Gemara. He doesn't hold the ksiva as a solution. Says Rashi on top, let's say ksiva ain't saimchen al kach. We don't rely on that. This is in lava date, li yune, buksava. Perhaps the kohen won't pay attention, won't realize what he's taking from. David says, you'd avoid all confusion. Don't have a sheif of a chayv. That's not as we find in our Mishnah Yuma. Rabbi Doimer, lo yoyisham al kan echad. We only had one golden base for the dam. Why? Three, my time, aloy. Why wouldn't he have two? One for the par, one for the sir, which is the michlafi. Because they might get mixed up. Says Rashi, two lines from the top. Mishum de michlafi. If I make two of them, what can happen? Maniach mizrak ha-sar al-shalzeh. When he places the mizrak containing the dam ha-sar on this one, vishal par al-zeh, and he places the dam of the par on the other one, ukeshebolo kachas the dam ha-par, and he returns to get the dam ha-par for the next phase of the hazois in the hechel, things might get confused, might get mixed up. Pa'amim shenes chalafloi, might not realize what he's taking. V'noitel, might take the wrong one. V'noitel shel sar, might pick up the sars. Hilchos says Rabbi Yehuda, therefore, kileke alachad, rather only have one. One base. If there's only one base, you're avoiding this the concern. There's only one there. Then he'll have to rotate. Lo'imanachai, ad shakal hai. First he has to remove what's there to allow him to replace it with the one that he's holding. This will ensure proper procedure. V'nimtzu avoid this kesidron, in which case everything will work properly. Shel sar achar par b'fnim, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim will first do the par and then followed by the sar. And the same thing by the hechel. V'shel par achrem b'hechel, followed by the par and the hechel, v'achach shel sar and followed by the sar. So in the Kodesh HaKadoshim will be par sar and the hechel par v'sar. So this will save us any trouble. Once again, Tanakhama maintains, you have two bases, one on which you place it on a par, one on the sir. We're not afraid about confusion. Rabbi Yehuda says, keep only one there. This way, he'll be forced to keep rotating, which will ensure that he's always going to take the right type of dam at the appropriate time. Says the Gemara, okay, that's a real concern, but, three lines from the top, when you have a why can't you just make two of them? V'lichtav alayu, and add a label. Write on them. Hide the par, hide the sar. Which one's the par, which one's the sar? Why would you confuse things if they're clearly labeled? Elo, Rabbi Yehuda, less like ksiva. So right, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold that ksiva is a good solution, might not notice. And therefore, don't get involved in this type of situation. Only make one kan to avoid confusion. Likewise, don't make a shefer for chayva. Make only for nadavos. To avoid any possible confusion. Meis veba vakasha from a Mishnah, which clearly indicates to us that even Rabbi Yehuda considers labeling a proper form of identifying things and avoids any confusion. Shalosh esrei shofaris ha'yibamiglish. There were those 13 containers. V'yukosvalein, which were all clearly tagged and labeled. Taklin chadatin, that was the first one. The Gemara will explain what this is. V'taklin atikin, v'kinin, v'goiz lo'oyla, v'eitzim, v'levoyna, v'zalu kaparis, v'shisha l'nadava. So these were the 13 sheifers. And the Mishnah explains. Taklin chadatin, that served this year's shkolam. Elu shkolam shel kol shana v'shana. A fellow wants to bring his machzah shekel, and he missed the shluchim. So he comes running to Beis HaMikdash, and he tosses the shekel into this shefer, taklin chadatin, the new shkol. The next one was taklin atikin, designated for last year's shkolim. Mishal shekel ashtakat, one who failed to bring shekel last year, yishkol shana ba, he'll bring next year and put the money into this shefer. The next shefer was kinin. What's that for? Hein tayrin, for purchase of these larger sized birds. The next one was called goyle oyla. That was used for purchase of small-sized birds. Hey, b'nei yene, these baby pigeons. The kulan oilois, they're all meant for oilois for nadava. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, actually, there were a couple more in the Mishnah, which we haven't yet explained. Eitzim, one puts money in there for firewood donation. Ulevoina, if he wants to donate for Levoina on the Mizbeach, and the Zalakapurus was where you put some gold for making of the Klei Sharis. And Shishilu Nadava, that's where you deposit the leftover monies of various Karbonis to be used for the Nadava to purchase Oilois for the Keita Mizbeach when the Mizbeach was idle. In any case, we see clearly that even Rabbi Yehuda subscribes to labeling and marking shefaris. We had various shefaris with writing on them. This is for this, this is for that. It's pretty clear. There's no room for confusion. So why then did Rabbi Yehuda delete the shefar meant for the choiva, for the chatois? Taroivis? Why would it be taroivis? Why would you confuse things? It's clearly marked and labeled. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar. Rav Dimi, when he came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, Amri Marav, and Eretz Yisrael, they explained as follows. Rav Yehuda's concern was, Gzeiro Mishem Chatos Shemesu Ba'alel. You know that if a Chatos owner passes away, you can no longer bring his Chatos. Chatos is so connected to the Chet, to the owner. There's no owner, there's no Chatos. If we're going to have a Shefer, into which a Zava would insert monies, intended at least partially for a chatas, what happens if that person dies on that very day? His money can no longer be used. It must be tossed into the Yama Melech, Rashi says. So he's concerned about that possibility. Maybe one of the owners, the anonymous owners, will pass away on that very day, in which case there is money in this shofar which cannot be used. And since it cannot be identified, we're in trouble. And that's why he deleted the concept of a shofar l'chayva. And he only kept those that were in a dava for Ayla, in which case this concern doesn't apply. Since when are we concerned that perhaps somebody will pass away today? There's a chazaka. If he was alive, he'll continue to be alive. But one sends a chatas from far away, you can be mak of that carbon, assuming that he's alive. It's a chazaka. If he was alive, we assume he's still in that same state of chayim. So why would you be concerned about somebody dying throughout the day? Well, you're right, that's not the concern. We're not concerned about speculation. We're concerned about reality. Ella, mishum chatos, shemesu ba'alel avada. We're concerned that perhaps we'll know with certainty. We'll get word that, yeah, one of those contributors actually passed away today. And since we have no way of figuring out where that person's money is within this collective fund, money which is usher to be used, you can no longer use the entire fund. That's your biggest concern. That's why don't get involved in a shefer for chatois. Says the Gemara, what's the concern? V'niver abo zuzi. Let's just pick out four zuz, the value of a chatos bird. V'nish to be yamaya, throw it to the yam. Get rid of it. As Ritva explains, the mindset of the person who's putting that money into that shofar is, look, I'll let the shofar, let the kohen determine which money belongs to whom. I'm throwing it into the collective fund. So now after we have this, hear this news, that there's somebody that passed away, let's just take four coins, determine that this, let's attribute this to that owner, and get rid of it. And the rest is mutter. V'anach nishtu, the rest is mutter. What's Rabbi's concern? Rabbi the Leslie Breer. He doesn't subscribe to this procedure. You can't go ahead and choose something now and attribute it retroactively. As Gemara will elaborate on in the upcoming Daf Erez Hashem. Okay, time for a brief chazar of today's Daf. We discussed the Hazois, Achas Lamala, Sheva Lamata. The Gemara spoke about five aspects. You don't aim in any specific direction. The difference is merely in the motion of the Kohen, upward or downward. There's no contact of dam on the Mizbech itself. We spoke about the number of hazois. It's achas lamal and sheva lamata by both, par and sir. Plus it connects the two things. And of course you count as you go along. Achas. And then sheva lamata. According to your blazer, you count achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim to avoid confusion, to make sure you have a proper account of seven lamata. According to your b'yechen, it's achiv and atira, to count the achas lamal together with the sheva lamata. If you missed it, it's possible. And we concluded that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was only one kanzav, one base on which they would put the dam, to avoid any possible confusion, as triggered a discussion between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanim, regarding how many shofaris were there in the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there was no shofar to accommodate a chatas. And according to Rabbanan, there was. Why? According to Rabbi Yehuda, no. Or figured, well, tarayvus, things might get mixed up. Well, that's not a concern. Just label them clearly. And labeling works, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Mor says, well, maybe one of the owners will die. Says, well, okay, but just take some coins, toss it out. And let that be attributed to that owner. Breira. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold a breira. As we're going to see in the upcoming Daf Be'ezus Hashem. Haslacha Rabbah to you.